From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's the economy, stupid. Presumptive presidential nominees John McCain and Barack Obama are squaring off over how to deal with a whole slew of issues from jobs to gas prices to home foreclosures. Meanwhile, former Democratic presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich moves to impeach President George Bush. For more, we have our political experts, Democratic strategist Donna Brazile, author and nationally syndicated columnist, also with us, Robert Trainum, D.C. bureau chief for the Comcast cable network, CNN. Hey, folks.
Hi, Fry.
Hello.
So much going on now that we have these two candidates racing towards the general election. McCain and Obama have been very vocal about their plans for the economy, and each of them has different ideas on how to improve it. Robert, let me start with you. What's McCain proposing?
Well, Senator McCain specifically wants to repeal the tax cut for higher income Americans because he strongly does believe that when you cut taxes, obviously you spur economic growth. He also wants to make the Bush tax cuts permanent. These are the tax cuts that were passed by the U.S. House and Senate back in 2001. They're scheduled to retire or expire in 2012. Senator McCain also wants to eliminate the AMT, which is the alternative minimum tax. He also wants a freeze on discretionary spending, and he also wants a gas tax holiday, which many Americans want. Simply, and that means basically is that you cut the federal tax cut between now and perhaps maybe into Labor Day, which thus in the process will give people a little bit more breathing room as it relates to paying high gas prices at the pump.
Donna, what are we seeing from Senator Obama?
I think Senator Obama has been very clear from the start that he wants to get America's economic house in order. More Americans today are still losing their homes. They're faced with rising fuel prices, skyrocketing health care costs, and, of course, food prices. Senator Obama has promised to pay for everything that he's proposing. This is not a return to the past where we saw the first 42 presidents run up over $3 trillion in debt, and by the time this president leaves the White House, will be $5 trillion in debt. Therefore, Senator Obama has pledged not to renew President Bush's tax cuts when they expire in 2010. He promises also to get us out of the war, which is costing us $10 billion a month. He has put forward bold plans on helping the American people restructure their debt. And, of course, he has promised to work with the Congress to ensure that we get our fiscal house in order, but more importantly, that we pay for everything as we go and we focus on the middle class. He will also give the middle class and low-income Americans tax cuts, and he will eliminate as many tax credits to big corporations and, of course, to the wealthiest Americans.
Donna, if we're talking about essentially a stimulus package for people who aren't making a lot of money, is he really proposing enough of a cutback on, you know, advantages to wealthier Americans to balance out the funds?
I think it's going to be very tricky, and for obvious reasons, we're at war, and that's costing us a good penny. And Senator Obama said that while he wants to get the troops home as soon as possible, we know that's going to take time. It must be an orderly process to get them home. Look, we're in a fiscal box. George Bush has run up the deficit. And as a result of that, I think Senator Obama has promised to not only help stimulate the economy by helping middle-class families, helping the working poor, but he knows that whatever programs that he put forward, he will have to offset them in some way so that we don't run the deficit up more.
You know, Farai, what's very interesting in this conversation is that the Congress has not been included in this conversation. By law, the Congress has to pass a budget. By law, the Congress does spend the people's money, and that's called the appropriations process. And the last time I checked, the Democrats are in control of both the House and the Senate. So there's both to be blame on both sides of Pennsylvania Avenue if you really want to be completely forthright with the whole picture. President Bush, there's no question about it that government spending has gone up under this presidency. It's a fact. However, government spending as it relates to the appropriations, government spending as it relates to discretionary spending and with the budget also lands squarely at Speaker Pelosi's foot as well as with Harry Reid.
Robert, when it comes to, you know, there was a lot of discussion during the primary race about whether or not Senator Obama was going to do well with white working class voters. If, in fact, he is proposing basically benefits for people who are not as wealthy, do you think that that will trump the race issues and the class issues that he has seemed to confront?
You know, that's a very interesting question. I don't know. Here's why. It's because most Americans vote by their pocketbooks. When it comes to pain at the pump, when it comes to a high-rising way of living, they often say, you know what, I can't afford to live the way I'm currently living, so I'm going to vote for the person that's going to stimulate the economy the best way I know how. However, the difference here is the obvious. Senator Obama is an African-American, or at least he's an ethnic person that's running for president. And so we've never had that before at the national level in terms of being the Democratic nominee. So I think, candidly speaking, people's personal feelings towards Senators McCain and Obama may trump their financial interest, so to speak. The exit polling over and over and over again is showing that, is that, you know what, we definitely are concerned about the economy. That's the number one issue for us. But we're also concerned about whether or not we like this person or not. Because if you take a look at some of the exit polling, there's a lot of folks out there that do not like President Bush, and they finally won a president that they actually like and feel connected to.
Donna, what about people voting against their economic self-interest? Does that happen, and under what circumstances?
Oh, absolutely. We've seen that time and time again in every election season, at least since 1964, where there are Americans who clearly believe that the person, not the policy, should govern their choice. Look, this election is going to be a change election. And I think Senator Obama, as well as Senator McCain, must define the kind of change that they want to bring about. When 80% of the American people believe that the country is on the wrong track, that's 80%, that's a consensus. And when you see the kind of frustration, anxiety among voters with the economy, there's no question that Senator Obama, as well as Senator McCain, must appeal to voters based on their pocketbook interests. But at the same time, there will be personal characteristics that people will say, look, I like Senator Obama because he inspires me. He has bold new ideas. Or people will say on the Republican side, I like Senator McCain because he comforts me. I think his experience is what the country needs at this time of war. This is going to be a dynamic election. And one thing that we should take note of, and that is, there are a lot of new voters that will come into this process because they feel like they have so much at stake, and they want to help to make a difference as well.
All right. Let me turn to what some people are calling about time and some people calling a stunt. Former Democratic presidential candidate and Congressman Dennis Kucinich introduced a resolution into the House to impeach President Bush. There were 35 articles of impeachment. Donna, does he have any support from other members of the Democratic Party, or are they like, hey, what are you doing?
Well, there's no question that the House leadership, Robert mentioned Speaker Pelosi, she would like the Congress to focus on extending unemployment benefits for those who are suffering. She believed that this resolution should be referred to committee. Representative Kucinich is using a procedural process, a privileged motion to bring it up on the floor. Look, I think there needs to be a debate about this. I don't know if the timing is right, but there needs to be a debate about some of the issues and the allegations that Representative Kucinich has brought up in the article of impeachment. But there will be a debate. There will be a conversation. Representative Kucinich spent 5 hours explaining his article of impeachment. I didn't watch all 5 hours. Robert had me entertained on another cable show. But I think there needs to, we're grown-ups in America. We can afford to have this conversation, whether it's trivial or whether it makes sound sense. I think we should have the conversation, but I agree with Speaker Pelosi. Let's also get some things done before the American people, take their summer vacations and find out that they can't go far because we don't have the resources. They don't have the resources to drive resources to go out and buy their groceries.
Robert, let me just throw something else in. I know you're going to comment on this. Scott McClellan, plus the recent Senate report about pre-war intelligence. Does that give any more heft to this move?
Yes and no. But let me start off with Congressman Kucinich. This is nothing more but political theater. Here's why. He did this back in November. He tried to introduce, or he did introduce, articles of impeachment for Vice President Cheney. Guess what Speaker Pelosi did? She specifically, as Donna mentioned or alluded to, referred that directly to the Judiciary Committee. Guess what she did this morning, Farai? She referred that directly to the Judiciary Committee, where the Judiciary Committee is going to table that, and it's going to die. And the reason why it's going to die is because the last thing that Speaker Pelosi, Harry Reid, and Steny Hoyer, who's the Democratic majority leader in the House of Representatives, is they don't want to deal with this issue. We need to move on. And I'm specifically quoting Speaker Pelosi here in respect to George W. Bush and his quote-unquote unpopular policies. The fact of the matter is that we will have a new president come January 20th, 2009. So Democrats and Republicans together want to move forward and say, you know what, and this alludes to your next point, Fry. We all knew going into the war that the intelligence said one thing. We now know, looking backwards, that the intelligence was wrong. But the fact of the matter is that George Bush, Speaker Pelosi, the Japanese, the French, the Germans, the Brits, they all looked at the same intelligence and they all came to the same conclusion.
Donna, do you think that's letting the president off the hook? Just quickly.
Yes and no. Yes, he is being let off the hook because if Scott McKellen is right that this was a campaign to persuade us based on faulty information, yes. And we need to get to the bottom of it. In terms of is this the right time? No. Look, there are weeks in August that we do nothing in Washington, D.C. but complain about the heat. I suggest that we have the conversation in August so that we can get about the business of the American people, help those who are hurting out there, and show the American people that Congress and their government is out there working for them.
All right. Robert, Donna, always great to talk to you.
Same here.
Stay cool.
Robert Trainum is the D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast cable network CN8, and Donna Brazile is a Democratic strategist and syndicated columnist. They both joined us from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C.